Let's read together Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Here in Genesis 45, we reach the climax in the story of Joseph. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Genesis 45, beginning at verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you, so that you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall hasten and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." All right, let's look at a few background notes first of all. When Joseph's brothers first came down to Egypt to buy grain, Joseph did not reveal his identity to them. In fact, he put his brothers through some rough treatment. Even threw the brothers into prison for 3 days. At first glance, it seems that Joseph was being vindictive and taking revenge. But then we realize that Joseph was testing his brothers. Had they changed? It was more than 20 years since they had betrayed him and sold him into Egypt as a slave. How had they treated their father Jacob? How had they treated their younger brother Benjamin? Well, Joseph's brothers passed the test that Joseph had designed for them. They not only acknowledged their guilt, but they definitely showed a change of heart. After Judah spoke for the brothers in chapter 44, Joseph realized that his brothers were changed men. They really wanted to do what was right. And so it's now that Joseph is ready to reveal himself to his brothers. The first few verses of Genesis 45 that we've read are some of the most dramatic verses in the Bible. Can you imagine the drama of that moment when, alone with his brothers, Joseph said those awesome words, "I am Joseph"? What would we have done if we were one of the brothers at that point? Well, I think we would have been as speechless as they were. Well, Joseph was quick to show that he had completely forgiven them. He cried with them, and he talked with them, and he told them to go back home and get their father Jacob and their families and move to Egypt. Look there in verses 10 and 11 once again. "You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine." The land of Goshen, we believe, was on the east side of the Delta area in Egypt. It would have been good grazing land and not too far from Joseph, who was probably headquartered in Memphis. Well, so much for our background notes for this section. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, understanding God's providence enables the believer to accept hard times. Understanding God's providence enables the believer to accept hard times. You know, in these recent studies of Joseph, I think what's impressed me the most about Joseph is his unwavering faithfulness to God. sold by his brothers as a slave when he was only a teenager. Disappointment after disappointment, even put in prison for doing what was right, yet Joseph never wavered in his faith to God. How was Joseph able to be so steadfast in faith? How was Joseph able to weather the hard times? Answer, Joseph appreciated and understood God's providence. Understanding God's providence enables the believer to accept hard times. The doctrine of God's providence is not only that God is in control of all things, including all the mundane things in your life, but that he actually works out his plans and purposes through these things. Specific plans and purposes for your life, whether it be big things or small things, easy times or hard times, God is in control and working out his good plans and purposes for your life. Do you understand that? Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Why then do we complain about circumstances? Joseph understood this doctrine, and that's why he could accept the hard times without wavering in faith. Joseph understood Romans 8:28, I think, more than we do, and he didn't even have the New Testament. Are you undergoing some hard times right now? Do you believe God is still in control? Understanding God's providence enables the believer to accept hard times. Doctrinal point number two. Understanding God's providence enables the believer to forgive hard people. Understanding God's providence enables the believer to forgive hard people. Joseph's brothers were hard men. Remember, they were responsible for the massacre of the whole male population of Shechem. Read Genesis 34. And these brothers had wanted to kill Joseph, and would have if the Ishmaelite traitors hadn't come along. How was Joseph able to forgive such hard men? Well, on the one hand, we've seen that the brothers had changed, and Joseph knew that there was a real change of heart. You know, I think the brothers were actually converted at this time. You say converted? Well, yes, I think you understand that Old Testament people had to be born again in order to be saved, just as New Testament people. Remember the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, and this was before the cross, except a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I really think Joseph's brothers got saved through their contacts with Joseph. But still, how was Joseph able to completely forgive these brothers who had betrayed him? Could you do this for a family member or a fellow believer? What's the key? The key is that Joseph understood God's providence. Look how Joseph brings this into the picture in verses 5 through 8. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Joseph saw God's hand in all of these events, and therefore he was able to forgive his brothers. Understanding God's providence enables the believer to forgive hard people. This is a tremendous concept, and it will work for you as well as it worked for Joseph, because it's the truth. Has someone wronged you? Has someone even betrayed you? God allowed it to happen. God even has a purpose in it, even though we can't understand that purpose right now, maybe. Yet God has not only allowed it, he's controlled it, he's even purposed it in the way he's working everything together. Can you catch that concept? If you can catch that concept, then you can handle any situation, even when someone betrays you, and you are enabled even to forgive them. Understanding God's providence enables the believer to forgive hard people. And doctrinal or teaching point number three, Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers portrays the future reconciliation of Christ with Israel. Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers portrays the future reconciliation of Christ with Israel. Again and again in the story of Joseph, we've seen the parallels between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. And here in the climax of the story, in Genesis 45, we see another obvious parallel. Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers portrays the future reconciliation of Christ with Israel. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And then down in chapter 13 and verse 1, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. What are these scriptures saying anyway? The "in that day" here refers to the future. The house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem is not the church, but the nation of Israel, Jewish people. And the fountain opened here speaks of forgiveness and reconciliation. Do you see what the Bible is teaching here in reference to Israel? Two things. On the one hand, Israel will continue to go through hard times in the international community. That's certainly clear there in Zechariah 12:9. But on the other hand, there will be a future spiritual revival in Israel, which will culminate in the return of the Lord and a reconciliation between Israel and the Messiah that she once rejected. What an awesome moment that will be. They will look on him whom they pierced. That future event is pictured right here in Genesis 45. Joseph's reconciliation with his brothers portrays the future reconciliation of Christ with Israel. Now, what about practical application? It's okay for a man to cry. It's okay for a man to cry. Several times already in the story of Joseph, we've seen that Joseph cried. Before Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he cried in secret. Now he cried openly. Verse 2, and Joseph wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. And then verses 14 and 15, then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Crying is a release of the emotions. You can imagine the emotional release that Joseph experienced here. God has designed us as emotional people. So crying is natural. It's the natural release of emotional tension. So it's not wrong to cry. Jesus wept on more than one occasion. Now, we shouldn't be crying all the time or crying for every little thing. We are to control our emotions and our emotional releases. Joseph is a superb example. But the idea, you see, that a man should never cry, that's not biblical. And parents, you should not teach your sons that lie. Teach your sons not to cry all the time and teach them to control their emotions and their emotional releases. But don't teach them that it's wrong for a man to cry. There are times when men should cry, in the family, and even in public worship. It's okay for a man to cry.